Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the dear family that are joining us in the room. Welcome also to those that are listening on the phone, on the radio, on our recording, also on a later date. We want to invite every single family and welcome them on this blessed Sabbath, November 7, 2015. This is lesson 152, chapter 31, entitled The Sermon on the Mount. This is part 6. The opening song to our study today is entitled, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. You can find it in the hymn book, number 569. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While another thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While another thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Trusting only in thy merit, will I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save me by thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While another thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thou dost bring up all my comfort, more than life to me, whom I have on earth beside thee, whom in heaven but thee. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While another thou art calling, do not pass me by.
If we could all kneel and bow our heads in our hearts and come humbly before our Godhead. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your precious name. Lord Jesus, thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to enter into another one of your Sabbath rest, dear Father. I pray that you send your Holy Spirit to be with each and every one of us, wherever we are, in groups or individually, to comfort us and to give us a spiritual understanding of the lessons that we're about to partake of. Open up our eyes and our ears and our hearts, dear Father God, and let it be receptive to your words, dear Father God, and let your light so shine within us, dear Father, I pray. Please continue to bless us, each and every way that we need it, dear Father God, according to your perfect will. Bless us according to our needs. Thank you for all that you have done and all that you will continue to do. Please be with all the sick and afflicted today, dear Father God. Please be with all the brethren who are here, and for those that will be listening over the phones and those who will be listening to the recording at a later time. I lift them up. I lift us all up to you, dear Father, I pray. Thank you for all that you have done and all you will continue to do in our lives. In no other name than Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. So let us continue in our study. The opening scripture to our study today is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 7, verse 12, from the King James Version, and it reads, "Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good." This week, boys and girls, we will continue with part 6 in our lesson entitled The Sermon on the Mount of our study book, Desire of Ages. If anyone of the dear family would like to take the following verses, bubble up.
Romans chapter 7, verse 13. "Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, souls under sin." Amen.
Matthew 5:19. "For whosoever therefore shall break one of those least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Amen.
Isaiah 64:6. "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away."
John 8:37. "I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you."
John 8:38. "I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father."
John 8:39. "They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham." Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good job, everyone. Today we will cover pages 308 through 310. If anyone of the dear family would like to take the first paragraph, bubble up.
Desire of Ages, page 308. Since the law of the Lord is perfect, every variation of it must be evil. Those who disobey the commandments of God and teach others to do so are commended by Christ. The Savior's life of obedience maintains the cause of the law, the claims of law. It proves that the law should be kept in humanity and show the excellence of character that obedience will develop. All who obey as he did are likewise declared that the law is holy and just and good. Romans 7:12. And on the side it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect. If ye keep my commandment, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. For this is the covenant that I will make with thee, with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws unto their minds and write them in their hearts, and I will be with them of God, and they shall be my people." Hebrews 8:10. And then it says John 10:15. "Jesus is the fulfilled the word of God. Jesus' life fulfilled the word of God." Psalms 48. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is, yea, thy law is within my heart. The law is holy and just and good. Amen.
Desire of Ages, page ages, is 308. On the other hand, all who break God's commandments are sustaining Satan's claim that the law is unjust and cannot be obeyed. Thus they second the deceptions of the great adversary and cast dishonor upon God. They are the children of the wicked one, who was the first rebel against God's law. To admit them into heaven would again bring in the elements of discord and rebellion and imperil the well-being of the universe. No man who willfully disregards one principle of the law shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Desire of Ages, page 308, paragraph 4. On the side, this says Catholicism and apostate Protestantism. And it says, claim aim that the law is unjust and from the Protestant preachers. And John 8:44 says, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do, for he is a liar and the father of it.
Question, boys and girls. Who are condemned by Christ if they do what and teach it to others? And what do all who obey as he did declare about the law? If you know the answer to these questions, dear ones, bubble up.
Those who disobey the commandments of God and all who obey likewise are declaring that the law is holy and just and good.
Desire of Ages, page 309. The rabbis counted their righteousness a passport to heaven, but Jesus declared it to be insufficient and unworthy. External ceremonies and a theoretical knowledge of truth constituted Pharisaical righteousness. The rabbis claimed to be holy through their own efforts in keeping the law, but their works had divorced righteousness from the religion. While they were punctilious in ritual observances, their lives were immoral and debased. Their so-called righteousness could never enter the kingdom of heaven. And on the slide, it says, it is a picture that shows the rabbis counted their righteousness as a passport to heaven. And there's also a scripture that says, Jesus fulfilled the scriptures, Psalms 40, verse 7. And that's from the King James Version. And it says, then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Amen. And the last slide there, it says, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 through 12, the King James Version reads, and this is the record that God had given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that had the Son had life, and he that had not the Son of God had not life. Amen. And this reading was from Desire of Ages, page 309, paragraph 1.
Amen. Question, boys and girls. What did Jesus declare to be insufficient and unworthy passport to heaven for the rabbi as well as for all today? And can their righteousness enter the kingdom of heaven? If you know the answer to this question, dear ones, bubble up.
The answer is their righteousness is a passport to heaven through external ceremonies and a theoretical knowledge of truth that constituted Pharisaical righteousness, and not all. Their so-called, not at all. Their so-called righteousness could never enter the kingdom of heaven, but their works had divorced righteousness from religion.
Sabbath blessing, everyone. Desire of Ages 309. The greater deception of human mind in Christ's day was that a mere access to the truth constituted righteousness. In all human experience, a theoretical knowledge of the truth has been proven to be insufficient for the saving of the soul. It does not bring forth the fruit of righteousness.
agendas regard for what is termed theological truth often accompanies a hatred of genuine truth as made manifest in life. The next slide, please. Continue, Desire Ages, page 309. The darkest chapter of history are burdening with the record of crimes committed by bigoted and religiousness. The Pharisees claimed to be the children of Abraham and boasted of the possession of the article of God, yet these advantages did not preserve them from selfishness and malignity, greed for gain, and abase hypocrisy. They taught themselves to greater religiousness of the world, but the so-called orthodoxy led them to crucify the Lord of glory. Wow. Even.
Desire of Ages, page 309. The same danger still exists. Many take it for granted that they are Christians simply because they subscribe to certain theological tenets. But they have not brought the truth into practical life. They have not believed and loved it. Therefore, they have not received the power and grace that come through sanctification of the truth. Men may profess faith in the truth. But if it does not make them sincere, kind, patient, forbearing, heavenly minded, it is a curse to its possessors. And through their influence, it is a curse to the world. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Question, boys and girls, do these dangers exist today? And why do men professing faith in the truth lack the power and grace that comes through sanctification of the truth? If you know the answer to this question, dear ones, bagola.
The answer is yes. Many take it for granted that they are Christians simply because they subscribe to certain theological tenets, but they have not brought the truth into particular life. And men may profess faith in truth, but it does not make them sincere, kind, patient, forbearing, heavenly minded. It is a curse to its possessors, and through their influence, it is a curse to the world.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a quote from the Spirit of Prophecy together, dear ones. And this one is taken from the book of Acts the Apostles and is located in page 206. It is a universal principle that whenever one refuses to use his God-given powers, these powers decay and perish. These powers decay and perish. Truth that is not living, that is not important, loses its life-giving powers. Truth that is not living, that is not important, loses his healing virtue. Acts and the Apostle 206 loses his God-given powers.
Desire of Ages, page 310. The righteousness which Christ taught is conformity of heart and life to the revealed will of God. Sinful men can become righteous only as they have faith in God and maintain a vital connection with Him. then true godliness will elevate the thoughts and ennoble the life. Then the external forms of religion accord with the Christian's internal purity. Then the ceremonies required in the service of God are not meaningless rites, like those of the hypocritical Pharisees. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to all the dear family that are joining us at this very moment. Question, boys and girls, what does the righteousness which Christ taught teach, and why were the ceremonies from the Pharisees required in the service of God found to be meaningless rites? If you know the answer to this question, dear ones, babala.
The answer is the righteousness which Christ taught is conformity of heart and life to the revealed will of God. Their external forms of religion were not by faith in God, and they failed to maintain a vital connection with Him to gain the godliness that will elevate the thoughts and ennoble the life in eternal purity.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's learn another beautiful scripture song together, dear ones. And this one is taken from the book of Matthew and is found on Matthew chapter 23, verse 23 from the King James Version.
Page 310, Jesus takes up the commandments separately and explains the depth and breadth of their requirement. Instead of removing one jot of their force, he shows how far-reaching their principles are and exposes the fatal mistake of the Jews in their outward show of obedience. On the side, it says God's Ten Commandments. Shows all commandments which run from Exodus 21 to 20. And two new verses, Psalm 89, verse 34, in the King James Version says, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips." And Deuteronomy 6:9, which is also in the King James Version says, "And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." He declares that by the evil thought or the lustful look of the law of God is transgressed. One who becomes a party to the least injustice is breaking the law and degrading his own moral nature. Murder first exists in the mind. He who gives hatred a place in his heart is setting his feet in the path of the murderer, and his offerings are abhorrent to God. Desire of Ages, page 310, paragraph 2. On the sides is Exodus chapter 20, verse 16 says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." And on the other side, it says, "The law of God is transgressed." And it says, like Satan, and from Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 15, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from that day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee." Only in these writings say, one is tempted by the desires of a sinful nature, gives birth to a sin. The Pharisees yield their sin, will to Satan, and sin, then sin would mature and leads to death.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The same murderer spirit that Satan had by the Pharisees refusing the word of God and his truth, they end up doing the same thing that brought the death of Jesus as well. Question, boys and girls, how did Jesus showing how far-reaching their principles are expose the fatal mistake of the Jews in their outward show of obedience? If you know the answer to this question, dear one, bubble up.
The answer is he declares that by the evil thought of the lustful looks, the law of God is transgressed. One who becomes a party to the least injustice is breaking the law.
Desire Vision Space 310. The Jews cultivated a spirit of retaliation. In their hatred of the Romans, they gave utterance to hard, undenouncing, and pleased the wicked ones by manifesting their attributes. Thus they were training themselves to do the terrible deeds to which he led them on. In the religious life of the Pharisees, there was nothing recommended piety to the Gentiles. Jesus blamed them not to deceive himself with the thought that they could, in their heart, raise up against their oppressors and cherish the long and advantage their wrongs. Desire Vision Space 310, paragraph 3.
Desire Vision Space 310. It is true there is an indignation that is justifiable even in the followers of Christ. When they see that God is dishonored and his service brought into disrepute, when they see the innocent oppressed, a righteous indignation stirs the soul. Such anger, born of sensitive morals, is not a sin. But those who at any supposed provocation feel at liberty to indulge anger or resentment are opening the heart to Satan. Bitterness and animosity must be banished from the soul if we will be in harmony with heaven. Desire Pages 310, paragraph 4. And it says, but the bottom slide says, for harmony in harmony with heaven.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Question, boys and girls. Which indignation that is not justifiable by the followers of Christ and born of sensitive morals is a sin? If you know the answer to this question, dear ones, bubble up.
The answer is those who at any supposed provocation feel at liberty to indulge anger or resentment are opening the heart to Satan.
Amen. So let's learn our last scripture song together, dear ones, from the book of Psalms, and that can be located in Psalm 17, verse 4 through 5.
From the peril, the deep destroyer.
We have come to the ending of our first section of our children's Sabbath school lesson, and the second section will be the story time. So we will ask all those precious little ones to come very close to the mic, for our dear brother Grace will be the one to narrate it. This section of our study was
Good morning, boys and girls. It's story time. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you." That means work with me. "And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Matthew 11:29. Now, a yoke is something that ties two oxen or other animals together so that they can work together. Only by the aid of the divine teacher can we understand the truths of God's word. In his school, we shall learn how to be meek and lowly. That means being humble. He shows us how to understand the mysteries of godliness. A mystery is something hard to understand until someone explains it to you. The mystery of godliness tells us how to be like God. Let those who desire an education of the highest kind learn that God is nigh or near unto all those who seek Him with a whole heart, if we pray earnestly to Him to be like Him. The more one sees of the character of God, the more humble he becomes and the lower his estimation is of himself. When we understand Jesus better, we feel really humble. He did so much for us. This indeed is the evidence that he beholds God, that he is in union with Jesus Christ. Unless we are meek and lowly, that is humble, we cannot in truth claim that we have any conception or understanding of the character of God. Men may think that they possess superior qualifications. That is like a college education that gives you a degree. Their splendid or fine talents, great learning, maybe he's a college graduate. Eloquence, he speaks very well. Activity, he's busy as a bee. And zeal, he really goes after his work. May dazzle the eye, or he looks very good at what he does. Delights the fancy, his actions satisfy us. Let me see what happened here. And awaken the admiration of those who cannot read beneath the surface or cannot tell that he's just putting on. But unless humility and modesty is linked with these other gifts, self-glorification and self-exaltation will be seen. He's just doing it to make himself look good. Unless each qualification or talent is consecrated to the Lord, unless those to whom the Lord has entrusted gifts seek that grace which alone can make their qualifications or talents acceptable to God, they are looked upon by the Lord as unprofitable servants. An unprofitable person means he's not very useful to God. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a humble spirit or attitude, a broken and contrite heart, that is being sorry for your sins. O God, thou wilt not despise those whose hearts are melted and subdued, who have seen the glorious manifestation of God's character, will show no heedless presumption. They won't expect God to do things for them when they don't obey Him. Self will be lost in the consciousness they have of God's wonderful glory and their own utter unworthiness. They will realize how small they are and how great God's glory is. All who value a happy and holy walk with God will leave nothing undone if only they may gain a glimpse of His glory. A glimpse is a quick look. In every place and under every circumstance, that means at all times, they will pray to God that they may be allowed to see Him. They will cherish that meek and contrite spirit that trembles at the word of God. Sons and Daughters of God, page 68. And again the verse. Take my yoke upon you. That means work with me. And learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Matthew 11:29. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And thank you, Jesus, for allowing our dear brother to be able to have such a clear transmission and no problem with the computer. Thank you, Lord. Next week, dear ones, we will continue with part 7 in the study entitled The Sermon on the Mount of our lesson book, Desire of Ages. If any one of our dear little ones, mommy or daddy, would like to have closing prayer, bubble up.
You can only need it. Bow our heads in our hearts. Excuse me. Our Father, I thank you for the Spirit to have this blessed day. I thank you for the Spirit to wake us up this morning. I pray that we can be able to understand right from wrong. Forgive us all for our sins and iniquities and our hearts of spirits. Watch over us where we go, and thank you for blessing us with the special gifts that we can gain just by serving you and being holy to you through all the days of our lives. Forgive us all for our sins and iniquities and our cursed spirits. Let us be able to also focus on you and the important things that we need to do. And let us be sharing one another and let us be considerate with one another and always be able to be honest with others that they may be able to know the truth and not know why. And I pray that we can be able to know what is true and what isn't. I pray that we can comfort one another if we are sad, distressed, or even upset. Let us be diligent, discerning, unselfish, reverent, obedient, and noble, and also especially faithful. And let us be able to always understand all the things in your life that we may be able to teach them to others as you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So next Sabbath, dear ones, and that will be November 14, 2015, we will continue with part 7 of chapter 31, the Sermon on the Mount. Hope and pray that all of you were blessed, and may you continue with the activity at home that has been prepared for the whole family to enjoy and continue this precious dialogue of the commandments not being do away with, but is the very key to come into the kingdom of heaven through the merit of Christ alone. God bless each and every one of you. Have a blessed and peaceful Sabbath.